Persecution of the church had stepped up greatly, and we saw James, the disciple, the son of Zebedee, the brother of John, was martyred, and Peter put in jail, and miraculously was released and set free, and he ventured away. This time he didn't tell him to go to the temple and preach, and so Peter leaves the scene for a while. We'll pick him up again in Acts 15. Actually, it'll be in another 4 years that we'll find Peter again. But today, it shifts back to Saul. We were with Saul for quite some time. Then it shifted to Peter, and now Acts takes another shift, and it goes back to Saul, and it goes back to the church that we learned about a few weeks ago in Antioch, where the believers there were first called Christians. And so join me, if you will, in Acts 13. We're gonna launch today our discussion out of the text in 1 through 3. It says, "Now there were at Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers," and a colon that says, "here they are," Barnabas, and Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. They sent them away. So here, the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit said. It's just something that we've heard it said before. God told me so. You know, or we might hear it as God put on my heart, or the Spirit is leading me to. And sometimes people just don't know what to do with that. Sometimes folks think that we are weird. And when God was calling me out of Olive Baptist Church, and you've heard about that journey before, you may have not heard this part before, but I had to resign from Olive. And Olive's a very healthy church on the other side of town, and I was part of a very vibrant ministry, and to go into Dr. Ted Traylor's office was always an intimidating thing, but on this day it was especially, because I was going to go in there and I told him, "I'm resigning, I'm not in sin, I'm not unhappy, I've just got to say it's time to do something else, and I'm trying to be obedient in that, and you got to, you know, so why are you leaving, you know, God said so." God told me to. You're like, "Are you sure? Are you weird? You know, what are you doing?" And so the purpose of today is, does the Holy Spirit speak? And if so, does he still speak? And to whom does he speak? And how do we hear and recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? So the first question that we seek to answer today, does the Spirit speak? And how does he speak? Let's look at John 14. I have a lot of scripture today, and I invite you to join most of it there. There's a part. I'm going to hit something rather quickly here towards the end, but John 14, and we're familiar with these passages. We're going to read one from John 14 and one from John 16. But John 14, we're going to look at verses 16 through 26. These are the words of Jesus Christ, and he said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper." Now, he's talking about he's going away, okay? He's told them that he's going to be crucified. He said, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he might be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you after a little while, after the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live and you will live also. In that day you will know that I am the Father, and you in me, and I in you. He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by the Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, what then has happened? You are going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world." Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and he will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, referring to the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all I said to you. So here we have the Holy Spirit. He's going to teach. In verse 22 it says to disclose, and what that word means is to show oneself, to come to view, to appear, to declare, to indicate, and to make known. So here the Holy Spirit, the Helper, what Jesus calls, he's not only going to be with us, but he says he's going to be in us. And he is going to be the Helper. He's going to teach. He's going to bring to remembrance. And he's going to disclose the truth of God to us. Next, let's look at John 16, verses 7 through 15. Just a page over for me. But it says, but I, starting in verse 7, but I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking on the Holy Spirit again. But I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you in all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears. And listen to this, church. He will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you. So we see that some more roles of the Holy Spirit, that he will convict, that he will again guide. And it says that in verse 13, it says, and he will speak. He will speak. That alone, out of all the verses that we have read, answers our question, does the Spirit speak? And then we see in verses 13, 14, and 15, we see the word disclose again. It is a different Greek word than the one we looked back in verse 22 of John 14, but it still has the same meaning, to make known. So does the Spirit speak? Yes, by the words of Jesus Christ, the Spirit speaks. So as we've answered that question, that we do have a Holy Spirit that guides us, we do have a Holy Spirit that lives within us, and we see that we are His temple now. It's not about a place, it's not about a church, it's not about a temple or a church building, it is about the church, about the people. He abides inside of us, and He speaks, He discloses, He convicts, and He guides us. He makes it Himself. In the thoughts of Christ, in the thoughts of God, He makes them well known. Question two then, so if we have a Holy Spirit that speaks to us, to whom does He speak? Let's return to Acts. There's some interesting observations that we can make here. First we see in verse 13, verse 1, it says, now there were at Antioch in the church that was there. And it describes the church that was there. So who does he speak to? He speaks to the church. They were believers. They were followers of Christ. And in verse, if we remember the words of Christ when he was speaking with his disciples, and especially Peter back in Matthew 16, we won't go there. But he says, you know, remember Peter's confession upon which Christ said he would build the church. He said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. And then Christ says, this is going to be the foundation of the church that I will build. And a side note before we move forward is not a rabbit trail, but just a side note. And it's just, look at the description of the five men that they described being in the church. There was Barnabas, who is said to be somewhat wealthy. There's Simeon, who is called Niger. Niger is the Greek word for black. And then there's Lucius of Cyrene. That's a that's a place that was off the north coast of Africa, and then Menean or Menean, who had been brought up by Herod the Tetrarch. So maybe he's a little royal, spoiled, rich kid. And then we have Saul, who's the worst sinner of them all. And so this church, it's a group of, it's multiracial, it's multicultural, it's multi-socioeconomic, it's multi-sinner, sinners from all over the place. And then I believe if we don't know their ages, but we do see other examples throughout the world, that the word, that it's multi-generational. So the church is for all people. And it's a reflection. This what I see here just reminds me of what we talked about from Revelation 7 a few weeks ago, that where it says in verse 9 that a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all and all peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. That's the church. That's who the Holy Spirit speaks to believers, to those who believe that He is there, and He still speaks to believers today. Next, what's another observation that we see in verse 2? It says that they were ministering to the Lord. So what does that mean, they were ministering to the Lord? If you have an in, following in the NIV, it says worshiping. And while that's a good word and gives us a better word picture and we relate with that today, it's really not the best interpretation for that. But this ministering, what it means to give intentional giving of oneself for the purposes of serving in obedience and worshiping God. They were seeking, they were loving, they were, as we were talked and prayed about today, they were being a delight to God. It further, the word in the Greek means to serve at one's own cost. It means to perform a work in of Christians serving Christ, whether it's by prayer or by instructing others concerning the way of salvation or some other way as they were exercising their spiritual gifts or their disciplines. I tell you, when we exercise our spiritual gift, when we exercise our spiritual disciplines, it leads us to an active, intentional pursuit of God. Do you hear me with that? Worship is not a spectator activity that we do once a week on Sunday. It is an active, intentional pursuit of God. It doesn't just happen. I mean, the Holy Spirit can do anything. We saw where He wore out Saul here a few chapters ago and dropped him right there in the road to Damascus. But we have growth, spiritual growth, and those that God seems to speak to or to respond to are those who seek Him and those who exercise those spiritual disciplines. And what are those spiritual disciplines? Well, we know here that they said they were fasting. Fasting is one of those. But what about reading the Bible? That is, and not just reading it, but God, it's a place where God tells about Himself. He tells about Jesus. He tells about life. He gives us practical ways to live. He gives us rules that are not just, it's not about rules, but there are just things in life that if we practically apply them, it's favorable. There's blessings in them. There's wisdom. But it seems like that many Christians, many believers, many followers, they have a difficulty. And that one basic thing that could be a benefit to us all and be a benefit to all that we have contact with. Some practical ways that we can read and that could maybe be helpful to you is you got to find time. Church, we got to find time to be in the Word. If we're not in the Word, we will never be able to fulfill our vision or our mission, or especially all those that would tie into the Great Commission. We will not be useful to the Lord if we're not in the Word. That's, and coming up with a Bible a reading plan, whatever that is for you, it doesn't have to be ours. This week, we just wrapped up 1 Samuel. We'll go to 2 Samuel next week. And it's not just so much about reading it, it's about studying it, about digging deeper, whether it's being a word or a phase, a phrase. It could be a phase, depending on what genre that you're in. But a verse, maybe there's just something out of it that just speaks to your heart. We got to study it. And not only is it enough to study it, but we got to apply it. We got to obey it. Luke 11:28, Jesus says, "Blessed are those who hear and observe it," or hear and do it. Another very basic spiritual discipline that sometimes is difficult for Christians is prayer. Like, really, just prayer? Yeah, prayer as an ongoing, just pouring out our hearts to God. Just prayer, just speaking, confessing to Him our struggles, confessing to Him who He is, and just going through just like we would every day, talking to a spouse or somebody you live with or a coach, just talking to Him. Sometimes quietly. If you don't do it quietly, people think you're crazy, but it's okay. What about worship? And we come to think that this is worship time, but I tell you, worship is obedience. And while it can be corporate with us, worship is an everyday thing that is private. What about getting up in the morning? Good morning, Lord. Worship is just recognizing God for who He is and being the creation that He made us to be and the changed, transformed lives that we are through Jesus Christ. Worshiping and being a daily delight to our Lord. What about evangelism? Oh, that's for the whatever. No. Is there anything in your life, rather than your attendance here today, that points to Christ? Is there anything? I tell you, you want to blow somebody off their feet on at work or clock out first or whatever you got to do. Somebody says, you know, I really just, hey, will you pray for me? Or I'm having this struggle. If you say, hey, do you mind if I pray for you? Oh, yeah, please do. Yeah, put me on your prayer. Man, do you mind if I pray for you now? Boy, you start praying for people right there, it'll change lives. What about serving? What about stewardship? I'm not talking about your money. What about the way you spend your time? The way you spend your talent? What about fasting? Have you tried that? Yeah, I turned the TV off once. But fasting isn't about TV. It's not about saying that. It's about abstaining from food. And why? Because be saying, God, you're more important than my basic needs. What about, this is probably, if you got the others down, or at least somewhat, probably the one that can have the most benefit if the others are in place. Silence and solitude. Have you thought about that? Silence and solitude. All right. Thank you. And, that's a first. But silence and solitude, is there any intentionality in your seeking God? I mean, think about it. Is there, when we get silent, when we get by ourselves and we put aside, turn off the TV, turn off life, we do whatever, and we get to wherever we need to get and say, God, here I am, speak to me with His word, with prayer, with whatever it takes, that we just listen and we get silent. And we get by ourselves with the Lord. In our American culture, that's one of the most difficult things that we can do. As a pastor, that's sometimes one of the most difficult things that I find to do, is getting that time where it's just, I can be silent, and you know, I'm always filling it with the tyranny of the urgent, whatever's needed today, what's ever needed there. But being a follower of Christ requires intentionality. Just because you got saved, just because you got baptized, oh, I hear that all the time, oh, I got baptized here, or he got baptized, or she got baptized there. Well, that's great, but what is their life doing today? They're living like, well, but there's no intentionality in their walk with God. It is worship. Godliness is a lifelong pursuit. So how do we hear? How do we recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit? And do we hear? That's the question. Here's a bunch of verses. You guys don't have these, but Matthew 11:15, you're going to pick up a pattern really, really, really quick. He who has ears, let him hear. Matthew 13:9, whoever has ears, let them hear. Matthew 13:43, whoever has ears, let them hear. Mark 4:9, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. You getting the pattern, church? Mark 4:23, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Luke 8, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. Luke 14:35, whoever has ears, let them hear. Revelation 2:7, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says. Revelations 2:11, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says. And it goes on again through Revelations 3:6, Revelations 3:13, Revelations 13:9, whoever has ears, let them hear. Church, are we listening? Are we tuning in to God? We have a Holy Spirit that speaks. We have a Holy Spirit that speaks to those who are listening and those who are seeking and those who are intentional in how they live their life for God. You cannot be a growing, fruitful Christian on accident. You can't. You can't. And that's what we've relied on so much. We've relied on being just by accident. Instead of us being the Christians, and not about the Christian, but walking with God and being the disciples that we're supposed to be, where we're supposed to go out and everyone within our reach is supposed to be affected in some way and have the opportunity to respond to the gospel in some way, whether it's through your deeds. Somehow they got to deal with the gospel, with what the words you're speaking, with how you're acting, the way you're living. But no, instead, what do? We rely on the business marketing practices to where we want to become seeker-friendly churches. And whatever we do is that whenever the guest walks in, and I'm talking in general here, we want to give them cups. We want to make sure we're excellent. We want to make sure we're doing this, and we're doing this, and let's make sure it's about the show and do whatever. Whenever the reality is, what Scripture says is live your life. Live your life in an intentional way, walking with God and listening to His voice. And then, and only then, will the church, will the world be affected. Only then. So how do we hear? We've already read in John 14, verse 21 through 23. It says, he who has my commandments, he who keeps my word. I don't know if you watch the debates. If you haven't watched the debates, you ought to. Y'all ought to be praying. I've been rearranging my top 10 list and telling Stephanie why, and then I'll change one and move them up. Did you hear what Senator Cruz from Texas said the other night? They asked him, so what's God saying to you? And his first response was, well, I know, this is not verbatim, but it was something along the lines, well, I know that God speaks to His holy scriptures. Do you remember that? I mean, or if you heard that or seen that, wow. God speaks through His Word. If you are not in the Word every day or as often as you can be, whatever it allows, you're not hearing. You're not hearing. It's there. Well, I've read it once. Well, I've read it a bunch. I still don't know it all. We got to be in the Word. He speaks through His Word. Galatians 5, 16 through 25. Let's read a few of those. Scripture or verses where it talks about walking with the Spirit. Galatians 5, 16 through 25. Paul writes, but I say, walk in the Spirit, not walk on your own, not walk here or walk in the way of marketing practices that work in the United States. And you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, and drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Things like these. The list can go on, is what he's saying. And things like these. He said, just as I have forewarned you that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 22, though, it starts another list. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live by the Spirit, church, let us also walk by the Spirit. Here we gotta, how we hear is that we walk in the Spirit. We can't be walking in the flesh regardless of when your baptism date is, regardless of when you walk the aisle, regardless of when you said a prayer, you cannot live in the way you want to live and expect to hear from the Holy Spirit. We can't. We have to be intentionally living a life for Him. Be intentionally seeking it. Do we have to be perfect? Absolutely not. We can never achieve that outside of the blood of Jesus Christ. He who has ears, let him hear. Let's turn to the Old Testament. Look at Jeremiah 29. We all like Jeremiah, and we all like 29. We're in 31 on Wednesday. But Jeremiah 29, verses 12 and 13. We like 11. The one that says, "For I know the plans I have for you." We like that. If you read ahead that, he's sending them into captivity. It's one of the worst times in their history. And he's saying, "Hey, I'm disciplining you because I love you, because I have plans for you." And then in verse 12, he says, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me." And listen to this, "And I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." Oh, we got to call to Him. We got to pray to Him. We got to seek Him. We got to search for Him. And it says here, with all of our heart. Let's turn a few pages back to Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Many of you could probably quote this one. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding." And it says, "In all your ways acknowledge Him." How do we do that? Through prayer. "And He will make your paths straight." Again, we hear when we trust Him, when we acknowledge Him. And again, we see it again with all of your heart. Not part of your heart, not some of your heart, not most of your heart, but with all of your heart. And again, the pursuit of God is not a Sunday morning event. It is an everyday, intentional seeking and pursuing our God. That is a delight to Him. And then finally, let's look at John. And that's not the final verse. I don't want to mislead you. I still got time. But John 10. Go back to the New Testament. The words of Christ. As we're turning there, the context of this is Jesus is given a parable of a good shepherd. And Jesus, as we know, He is the great shepherd. And He's talking about Himself being the door, about the doorkeeper and all that. But John 10, 4, 5, in this parable, He says, when He, and He's talking about the shepherd, "when He puts forth all His own, He goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow Him because they know His voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." When we begin to get in the Word, when we take time to know His voice, when we take time to set aside in silence and solitude and prayer, and we take time to listen, we will know His voice. God will be faithful. He will be faithful. I can promise you that because it's in the Word. But you know what? There are three voices that we often hear. The first is the Holy Spirit that is speaking. He is speaking. He is speaking. But one that we hear, and one the one that's probably the loudest, is our own flesh, our own desires, our own emotions. And then we do have an enemy who's called the deceiver, who's called the father of lies. So what does that mean? That the enemy is not going to come to you with something that is just blatantly wrong. That is something that's just blatantly against Scripture. It's not going to be that clear. It's going to be something that's going to be counterfeit. That's probably the best word that just came in my mind. It's counterfeit. It looks pretty close to it, but it might be just a little off. And we've talked about that before. You cannot recognize the counterfeit if you're not familiar with that which is real. We got to spend time in the Word. And begin to know the voice of the shepherd, when those other voices start coming in, we know the difference. You're like, "Yeah, that sounds pretty good, but it's just not lining up. And when the Holy Spirit abides in you and we're intentionally seeking Him and intentionally living a life for Him and we're doing our best just to seek Him, and it just, He is there, and something just in our heart just knots up. You ever have that? You're like, yeah, but, you know, it's just that knot right there. Why? Because that's where He abides. And this speaking, how do we hear? Well, where is He speaking from? He's speaking from our heart. So usually it's one of those things that you know, that you know, that you know. Where it's almost, you could say it was even verbal. Maybe your experience it was. We can't say that He cannot speak through that. Maybe He spoke through other people in some way. We'll look at that or something similar to that in a minute. But let's look at, how do we know the difference? 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, I'm just going to read these. And you can write them down. I encourage you to write them down and follow up on them. 2 Timothy 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Why? So that the man of God may be adequate and equipped for every good work. There's something going on. You sense that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you about something, or you take it to Scripture. If it doesn't align with Scripture, then it is not of God. If it doesn't align with the inspired Word of God, which was inspired by the Holy Spirit, then it is not of the Holy Spirit. That's probably the number one test there. The next is to test it. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 19 through 21 says, do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances. And that means somebody bringing the truth. But examine everything carefully. Hold fast to which is good. So that means if somebody comes and says, you know what, this is all my heart, you know, I've been praying this and I just feel like God is saying this and that God wants you to know this or we ought to do this or whatever, you test it. You examine it. What do you examine it to? Well, we go back to the point we just made. We examine it against the Word of God. And we pray. We see that with Paul. And I mean, he's not Paul yet, with Saul and Barnabas. And the Holy Spirit said to set them apart. And what is the first thing that they do? They went and prayed. And they fasted some more. And they wanted to make sure. They tested it. They examined it. Because sometimes we can get excited about things. Sometimes we can get fired up and emotional. And sometimes our emotions, they override reason. And not saying that reason should always be overriding everything else, but we take it and we test it, we examine it, and then if it is good, we hold on to it, and if it's not, we're done with it. That was a great idea, but it doesn't line up with Scripture. Next, godly counsel. That's the way that we can discern the voices. Proverbs 11:14 says, where there is no guidance, the people fall. But in abundance of counselors, there is victory. Now, if you feel like the Holy Spirit is speaking something to your heart, like, you know, quit your job, sell your house, go to New York, and all that kind of stuff, it's something that you want counsel on. And it's something you want to pray through, something you want to fast through. And you begin talking to people that you know that are intentional about their walk with God. You know, if you got some bozo that's at work that's going out and juking and doing whatever they do on the weekend and there's actually no fruit in their life, they are not a good counselor. All right? They're just not. But if you got somebody that you know that might be in your Sunday school class or somebody in your family or somebody that you're close to in the church, somebody that you know that's hitting the Word, you're going, hey, God is putting this on my heart. What do you think? You know, and then they go, well, let me pray through that. And then you begin to examine the Scriptures, and well, you know, the Scripture does say this or does say that. That's scary. I'm going to pray for you. I'm glad it's you and not me sometimes. No, we get godly counsel and we bounce that off people because, you know, it's just amazing that how sometimes somebody will have a word for you and they don't know who the word is for yet, but in their prayer time, God has put something on their heart and given them a verse and they're like, what am I supposed to do with this verse? It's just really just sitting there and I got to do something. It won't go away. And you come up and say, do you know what? You know, I'm just thinking about this, or
God's put this all on my heart. And they're like, you know what? Boom. The Holy Spirit releases it. This is for you today. Do we take that? No, that's one thing. And we go and we talk, we pray, we fast. God, what would you want us to do? It says, with abundance of counselors, there's victory. And then sometimes the peace of God. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. The peace of Christ, what are we talking about? When we're seeking intentionally, where God is the forefront of our life. Yeah, I'll tell you, if it's just Sunday is the only time you're doing anything with God, I got questions for you. That's just the truth, friend. It's just the truth. I got questions for you. But when you're seeking God and you're seeking, you're pouring out, He will be faithful to you, and there's a peace. If there's something that's in your life and it's just not going right, what do we say the Holy Spirit's going to do? He's bringing conviction. And so when we're out of His will and when we're doing things that don't align with what He wants us to do, that peace goes away. There's just a knot. There's a heaviness. Why? Because that's where the Holy Spirit lives, and it just feels like an elephant sitting on your chest. Now, sometimes, depending on what your health, if there's other symptoms too, it's not just the Holy Spirit, you might want to go to the ER. You know, I know we just got to put that disclaimer out there in case you don't go and something happens and you say, well, I thought it was the Holy Spirit. Get an EKG and then determine if it's the Holy Spirit. But no, it's just, and sometimes there's just a peace. You're like, you know, this doesn't make sense in our culture. This doesn't make sense in what we're doing. It doesn't make sense in my life except in my prayer time. It doesn't make sense except when I align my life with the Bible. It doesn't make sense until I consider God and I consider it, His answers through prayer, His answers through counsel, and His answers through testing it. And even though other people may think it's weird, there's a peace in my heart about it. And I know I need to step forward. I need to be obedient in this. I guarantee you, if you're seeking God and you're truly seeking God and with intentionality and you mess up, He's going to put you back on track. He's going to put you back on track. I can attest to that. Back in Acts 3, verse 3, there's one more point we must make. That they were obedient to the Holy Spirit. They were obedient. They prayed, they fasted through it, and they were obedient. And it says here then, in verse 3, it says, then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, that means the church prayed for them, they sent them away. They're obedient. They didn't say, oh no, we want to keep them. This is Barnabas and Saul. This is the leaders. I mean, we need them here. You know, you've got to be out of the will of God. But no, they were obedient. Guess what, church? Obedience is your part of the conversation. I mean, you can be praying, you can be doing all this stuff, and then you can be reading the Word, and then God's putting this all on your heart, and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and then you're like, oh, but I don't want to do it. Lord, thank you for hearing, let me hear your voice, but don't really want to follow through with this. Obedience is your part of the conversation. Worship is not worship until we have been obedient in that. The Word of God, you can read it every day, but until you're obedient to it, it is nothing. We can sing these songs, but until we carry out the truth that is in them, it is not worship. Obedience is ultimately worship. So what are we talking about? What about obeying the initial promptings that comes in our hearts? That's probably our first prayer, Lord. Help us be sensitive to your promptings that you give us. And what am I talking about? Just, you ever have a pulling or a tugging at your heart that you just don't understand? And maybe it's, I ought to call this person. I don't know why I'm thinking about him or her. Maybe I ought to send a card. Maybe I ought to do this. Maybe I should pray for this person. Maybe I should do this. And you don't have to understand it. Just obey it. Just do it. Hey, you're on my heart. Thought I'd get if you call. You do not know how much I needed a call today. You know, or maybe they won't tell you that. Maybe they just, oh, everything's fine. If they're a good Christian, they're going to say, no, everything is fine. I am great. Life is good. I'm walking in the ways of God. Right? No, and inside we're just screaming because it's just all we can do is get on our face and say, help. That's the only prayer we have until we come in with our brothers and sisters who we should be confiding in with one another and saying, I'm hurting, but no, I'm great. praise the Lord. How are you? Okay. Again, the conversation becomes real when you obey the initial promptings of the Holy Spirit. And I guarantee you there will be distractions in your life to keep you from being obedient. And why is that? Because as you obey the voice of God, His voice becomes more prevalent in your life because you're tuning in, and it becomes more prevalent, becomes stronger, and then you become more obedient and you're walking in that, and you know the voice of your shepherd. Psalms 25:14 says, "The secret of the Lord is for those who fear Him, and He will make them know His covenant." Stay in constant communion with Him. And you'll begin to see spiritual realities. It'll be amazing. Just, and I'm saying constant. You're like, so I got to be on my knees all the time. There's a time where you take certain postures, whether it's on your knees, whether it's on your face, whether it's standing with your hands in the air, whether it's being submissive, whether it's on your knees and being submissive, whatever the Holy Spirit leads you to do. But you can walk through the line at Walmart. You can walk down the aisle. You can do all, you can live your life and be in constant communication. Why? Because He's a friend. Why? Because He's your Father. Why? Because there is true relationship, just as real as the relationship that you have with those that live in your own house. And if you can communicate with them, then you can communicate with Him, and He will communicate with you. So can we hear His voice? Yes, we can. Does He speak? Yes, He does. But being obedient is our part of the conversation. It leads to learning, leads to knowing, leads to understanding things that are apparent only to those who understand the deep truths of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to close 1 Corinthians. We're going to look verses chapter 2. I'm going all over the place here. Chapter 2, verses 6 through 16. I'm going to read this. This message today was aimed at believers. It was for the equipping of the saints. If you're in here with us today, and we've talked about Jesus Christ, we've talked about Him, if there's anything good in us, it's because of His blood. That's because Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. He's the ultimate sacrifice, and it's only through His gift that we can have eternal life. I'm going to be standing right over there. Don't leave today without coming and talking to me or asking me any questions. If your heart is a knot right now, don't leave without coming and talking to me or talking to somebody. But I'm going to read this passage, these 10 verses, and then Mike, if you would close us in prayer. Rhonda, if you would lead us in the benediction. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 16. Where it says, "Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him." Verse 10, listen to this. "For to us God revealed them." How? Through the Spirit. "For the Spirit searches all things, even the depth of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the" who, church? "The Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we, church, have the mind of Christ. Mike, pray for us. Rhonda, lead us out in song. Join us in cake, dessert before lunch. It's okay. If there's anything on your heart, I'll be right over here.